Hey, it's the big show. Steve Tischner here with Matt Lachlan. It's the podcast at moresportsnow.com. Today we'll talk some college basketball. There's a cloud over the Seton Hall program. How much trouble could they be in? Also, we'll look at the local teams headed into the conference tournaments. And it's all happening right now. Matt, a little storm brewing. The Seton Hall program, they're in a little bit of trouble. Surrounds Isaiah Whitehead, who apparently was taking payments from an agent while he was at Seton Hall. And then there's another problem about the coach who came along with him, his old high school coach, Dwayne Tiny Morton, who was one of those package deals who got hired by Seton Hall.
Perfectly legal, by the way. Perfectly legal.
But you know, it always stinks a little bit when
other teams have done it.
Yes, they have. But how much trouble do you think they're in? Will they get out of this? Will there be sanctions? Will there be problems?
Well, this is a big problem for college hoops. And the question is, what will happen throughout the land? Nobody really knows. The Seton Hall story is just part of the tip of the iceberg. I guarantee there's not a Division I basketball program that is not going through its files, looking over its shoulders, asking its athletic director, its basketball coaches, its football coaches, what is going on here? Because this is about to explode. Because they're one of many, it does not absolve them of whatever they are found to have done. Right now, what appears to have done have been done is that an agent, a runner for an agency, allegedly, they have a ledger from this.
FBI raided his agency.
Well, it's all part. Let's go back to how this all started, right? Mm-hmm. If you remember in the fall, Louisville got caught up. Four college assistant coaches got arrested on fraud charges. Alabama, Chuck Person out in Arizona. Eventually, what came out is that, because it's also an Adidas, former Adidas executive who was involved in this, he was paying an athlete to go to Louisville.
Right.
Rick Pitino was the king of Adidas. And eventually, because of a lot of other things, because Rick Pitino is covered in garbage, he's not a good man at all. I don't care what anybody says. He's a bad guy. But at any rate, he winds up having to resign at Louisville. So does the athletic director. And this was the beginning of what we have found. Now, why the FBI began investigating, who knows? But there are bribe and fraud charges that are at work here. And so this bubbled for a while. Everyone was saying, I did a daily brief on it. And I said, uh-oh, watch out.
Right.
The knock on the door is not about a recruit. It's the feds are coming at you throughout the land.
So it's a full-blown investigation by the feds.
Unbelievable.
Right.
So now what came out over the weekend, Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel and Pat Ford had access to some of the filings, and Isaiah Whitehead received $26,000 from this agency, and there's a document.
While he was at Seton Hall.
Yeah, right. He was a freshman. And then that he received another $37,000 and was setting up a payment plan. Now, he wound up signing with that agency and turned pro after that sophomore year. No one knows if that doesn't appear to be illegal. What is
happening? Getting paid during while he's at Seton Hall.
But not by Seton Hall.
Okay.
So this agent is saying, listen, look, here's what's happening. Okay. These agents make money on the percentage they make from all these deals with athletes. So as athletes, basketball players principally, turn pro early, they are identified early, not only by the coaches, but by the equipment manufacturers and by the agents. So how am I going to make money off of player X, who's a great eighth grader? Sick, isn't it?
Yes.
So here's what I do. I go to his family. I wine and dine the family. I get to know them. I get to say, hey, you know, we can do a lot for you when Joe goes to University X. We don't even know what university it is at this point. But here's what I'm going to, oh, you know what? Here's how I'm going to help out. Here's a little money for Christmas presents. Here's a little money just to kind of get you through.
Right.
It doesn't matter if these guys are rich or poor. The parents are saying, my son's a commodity. You're going to make money off of him. The college coaches are going to make money off him. The NBA, if he gets there, is going to make money off of him. Eventually, he'll make money there. But right now, what are you doing for me? So all of these agents, and they are all dogs. They are all dogs.
You have to get in that early.
You have to get in that early. And you have to be that unscrupulous. And by the way, Steve, if Joe signs with you, I'm going to do everything to make him break his agreement with you. If you follow the trail, not on this in this instance, and we'll get back to it. If you follow what happens with these athletes, they move from agency to agency at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. They drop their guys in a heartbeat because they got a better deal from the next company.
Rock Nation, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Whitehead wound up going to Rock Nation. Yeah. So it happens all. It's a dirty, dirty, I'll say it again, dirty business peopled by dirty, unscrupulous people.
So these agents have to be incredibly aggressive, even at early. And so they're early in on Isaiah Whitehead because he's a great player and he's going to go pro.
Shockingly, Isaiah signs with this agency.
But he can't receive that money while he's at Seton Hall. Or is that a gray area?
Is Seton Hall paying him?
It didn't come from Seton Hall.
Nope.
Right? Okay.
Did Seton Hall direct this guy to pay him? We don't know that.
No.
But did any of these schools direct these guys to pay these guys?
Where it stinks is bringing in...
I'm not defending Seton Hall. Okay. Here's the problem. Okay. Nobody really knows. And this is really blowing off the lid on something that everyone in college basketball knew, but most of us did not.
Right.
This is what occurs. Mm-hmm. So a guy like Markel Fultz, a guy like Dennis Smith, a guy like Isaiah Whitehead, on and on and on, they're being recruited for their ultimate payoff. So here's what I'm going to do. Take this money. Now, here's where Seton Hall or any of these schools will get into trouble. If there was a quid pro quo, wink, wink, you take the money from me. Mm-hmm. You go to Seton Hall. Seton Hall will pay me to be the guy who funnels you to them. And then when you go pro, you pay me back. Now, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But this appears, from what I've read, this is basically just loans to players.
Yeah. But so what really starts to stink a little bit here.
They're rolling the dice. They're saying when this guy turns pro, he'll sign with our agency. And when that first contract comes, and it might be for $2 million, it could be for $10 million. When he signs a clothing endorsement deal as an NBA draft choice in his first year as a rookie, when he goes and earns these bonuses, we will have on paper. Because people have said to me, why the heck would these guys write it down? Mm-hmm. Here's why. Hello. We lent you $55,000. Right. It wasn't a gift. It was a loan. Mm-hmm. You got to get it back. And here's what we'll do. It's no big deal. We'll just take it out of your check.
But what does stink here is that on those same books, there's a $9,500 loan out to Dwayne Tiny Morton.
Correct.
Okay. So who came in as a package deal to Seton Hall. So Seton Hall hired him to get Whitehead.
Absolutely.
In the first place. That stinks. I mean, it's
perfectly legal.
It is.
Perfectly. The NCAA investigated it. Perfectly
legal.
But
what about the loan from the agency to...
It depends. Did the agency say, as Seton Hall did, Seton Hall said, listen, how are we going to get Isaiah Whitehead? We better get Tiny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got you.
So if the agency said, how are we going to get Isaiah? We got to go through Tiny.
Right.
Tiny, here's what we'll do. Here's a $9,500 loan. Hopefully, you'll tell Isaiah to come to
and apparently
us...
It was
after he turns pro.
And he was a mess of a coach. He was divisive. They got rid of him as soon as Isaiah Whitehead was out there.
Doesn't matter. Okay. It paid off.
Right.
Seton Hall won a Big East championship. Mm-hmm. The recruitment of Isaiah Whitehead wound up allowing them to get all the guys that are leading
now to
another
21 season. I don't think you're going to argue me on this, but it still stinks, man. I mean, the whole
college hoops stinks.
$9,500 from this agent going to.
Rutgers stinks.
I'm sure
Temple stinks. Memphis stinks. UCLA stinks. Duke probably is involved in this.
No question.
I mean, a Duke player is listed. He had lunch. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Compared to some of the... I've said this forever. When are we going to get rid of the notion that this is pure amateurism? College football is a cesspool. College basketball is a cesspool. There is too much money involved. And the NCAA can do nothing about it.
So what you're saying is what...
Except we sit there and go, gosh, they're just doing it for alma mater.
What is Seton Hall doing that any other program is doing? Is pretty much what you're saying. So
Take Seton Hall out of this. They didn't do anything. Nothing's been proven against them yet.
Right.
An agency did involving a player Seton Hall guy.
Right. Now, what do you think?
That's a big difference.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think?
Now, by the way, I've said all these coaches are doing it. So I don't know what's going on.
Willard's role in the whole thing?
Maybe nothing. Mm-hmm. He goes and recruits Isaiah Whitehead. Tiny Morton says, well, listen, you know, he's got four other schools. What are you going to do for me? Mm-hmm. You know what? I've got an opening on my bench. You can come on along. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Which happens all the time.
Right. Yeah, so there's no implication. Look, There's an implication. There's no evidence that any of these colleges or any...
Unless this guy was known, it's known that he was bad news, this Morton guy. That's the thing. No,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Willard would take him on, though, Matt.
What is Kevin Willard's job?
To get the best player he can.
Correct.
Okay.
So, as long as he does it legally, it doesn't matter. Now, we can argue morals all we want. And I find myself here, I'm defending these colleges because we don't know anything yet.
Yeah.
All we know is this agency was out recruiting players at a very young age. But the colleges, other than Sean Miller, because he's been caught on a wiretap.
Right.
Talking about a $100,000 payment to get his star freshman player. That's different. If they have anything like that on any of these schools, they're all in big trouble. Now, the NCAA has limited action here because the NCAA only has so much access to this information. They don't have subpoena powers. The FBI, they understand the boundaries here. So they don't appear to be doing anything right now. But I would suspect that if it's found out that Isaiah Whitehead received improper benefits, then, you know, the games that he helped Seton Hall or any of the games he played in would be vacated. Right?
Right.
So that stuff, there are things that could happen. And depending on any of these schools' enrollment, Dennis Smith, $43,000 in 2016-17. A total, according to ASM agent Stephen Pina, Smith received $73,000 total. Tim Quarterman, a junior at LSU, $16,000. Diamond Stone, at the time a freshman at Maryland, $14,000. Markel Fultz, $10,000. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Right. I don't know how much the schools knew. That's the big question. And unless and until they can prove that the schools are in on it. And by the way, I wouldn't be shocked if they were in on it. But if they're not, it just appears to be more of an
And then you get back to the argument, and then we've had this argument a number of times, of just paying.
It's not going to change it.
Paying college players.
It's not going to change it. Now, I'm not opposed to it. It's not going to change it. Why would it change it?
Yeah. And so in the end of the day.
Why would it change it? Can you tell me why if we're talking about $43,000 for Dennis Smith and a total of $73,000.
Same point of making drugs legal, man.
Is he going to make a five?
Then you stop all this nonsense of investigating this, that.
Let the kids go pro. No one and done's. You want to go? Go.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem here.
So you think the enforcing the 1 year is the issue?
It's part of the problem.
Yeah. But how many players go? How many players have the ability to go straight to the pros?
Listen,
it's here's a very special player.
I agree. And Isaiah Whitehead had to go to Seton Hall for 2 years before he became a second round pick. It's paid off. He's still with the Nets. He bounces back in the G League and the NBA. He's
making money.
Yeah, absolutely. So who am I to say that he shouldn't do it? You know, go to the G League right out of high school. Go, man. Go. NBA. Here's what should happen. Colleges should not be bidding against themselves. The NBA should be conducting a draft, just like baseball does. We're going to conduct 10 rounds of a draft or 20 rounds of a draft.
Right.
The NBA, because they've got scouting evaluators, they got player talent evaluators, they can identify Isaiah Whitehead. And they can say, Isaiah, we've made you a ninth round draft choice. We're going to send you to Westchester or Bakersfield or down in Texas. And you're going to play just like we send these 18-year-old kids to small towns across America to play baseball for very little money. That's where the goal is. There's a reason why basketball and football stand out. The money is incredible. Is there illegal recruiting in baseball? No doubt. Is there illegal recruiting in wrestling? No doubt.
Sure.
Look, we have rules because people break them, right? That's the idea. You want to try to set some structure and order. But it's out of control in these sports because
big money.
And I don't know that you can have a minor league football league. Maybe you can. But college basketball, the NBA is part of this problem too. They look the other way. You develop them. We don't care what it costs. We don't care what you do to your soul. We don't care what happens if institutions go on probation. We're not saying you should, but we know, wink, wink, what's going to happen. The NBA should step up and they should have a league. But, we'll see.
And that brings up a whole nother can of why football and basketball don't have minor league systems like baseball. You know,
because the minor league is college. Why should the NBA set up a minor league?
Well, there you go. Yeah, and but it would help. I think what you're getting at is that it would help to a certain degree in terms of developing the player without.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah. It just would take this.
But it would have a market value to it. I would think. I'd go see a minor league basketball team for sure.
Have you gone to a G League game? You can go to Westchester County in White Plains.
Okay, I'm all right.
There we go. And it's the Knicks, your team.
Yeah, true.
So have you gone?
Well, Westchester's a bit of a haul. No, come on. It's north of the Manhattan. No, I have not gone.
It's White Plains. Yes. They play in White Plains. You can get there in 35 minutes, 40 minutes.
From here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't even think to go. So that's the answer to that question.
There you go.
Anyway, so is this this cloud, is this a distraction for Seton Hall right now, Matt? You know, they're
they
going
won on
into,
Saturday with the cloud over their head.
They have been playing better. That's for sure.
Look, I have a problem with all of this stuff, mm-hmm. right? I mean, this is why college basketball and college football frustrate me, and I don't pay as much attention mm-hmm. to it as I should.
Yeah.
I mean, they're swimming in sewage.
You've made the point. It's a cesspool. You've made that point numerous times. Yeah.
So it bothers me. Mm-hmm. I don't defend what Seton Hall did here.
But
I don't know if they had anything to do.
But as a Seton Hall alum and a big fan, you're saying no, they're not doing anything that any other college is doing.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying in hiring Tiny Morton, they didn't do anything that other colleges haven't done.
Okay.
And they were investigated for it because it does mm-hmm. raise a flag. They were investigated by the NCAA, and they were mm-hmm. found to have done everything legal.
Right.
It's been done before. It will continue to be done. Mm-hmm. So, no, I didn't say that. I said right now – there doesn't appear to be any indication that Seton Hall directed these payments to Whitehead, that there was a quid pro quo, that if Whitehead took this money from this agency, he was then going to be directed to Seton Hall by the agency because Seton Hall then had a wink, wink, nod, nod, backdoor agreement with the agency. Mm-hmm. No. That doesn't appear to be the case with any of these schools.
Mm.
Any of these schools. But it's the money. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, there's an investigation, and we'll follow it. So
an
this
FBI
is just
investigation.
The beginning. Absolutely, FBI
People
investigation.
Are gonna go to jail.
So we're going to, we will follow this story, and we'll certainly post it.
And this is the tip of the iceberg.
Just a start. I know.
The tip.
I know.
They're throwing out the juicy. They had 3,000.
We're going to be covering this for a while.
3,000 hours of wiretap.
Yes. It's
they are going.
The start.
This is the tip.
But we'll get back to basketball. When we get back, we'll talk about the conference tournaments. We'll start with the Big Ten, which is in MSG this week. Big show, moresportsnow.com. This is our podcast. We do it weekly. Steve Tichner here with Matt Lachlan. Let's talk basketball
now. Yeah. Let's rah-rah. Let's put out the alma mater's colors. Let's sing the song. Yay, yay, yay. Come on. It's a disgrace.
Well, there's basketball to play anyway. And the Big Ten tournament is at Madison Square Garden. Now, that Big Ten commissioner, Jim Delaney, did admit that it was not the best call to have the tournament at MSG because, of course, the Big East is there every year, so they had to have it early. They had to tighten the schedule up. Teams aren't getting enough rest, and he regretted call.
But you know what? I'm tired of that crap, too. They're not getting enough rest. Then you know what? He should make sure Big Ten teams don't play Thursday night games in Arizona or Texas early in the season because they're set up by ESPN when these kids are supposed to be going in school. Why don't we just accept it's all about money? Mm-hmm. Stop with the veneer of we're protecting the student athletes.
Right.
Cut me a break, tired.
Well, that was his suggestion.
But you know what? Because he doesn't want to admit the truth, and we don't want to admit the truth. They went to Madison Square Garden because it was good for them financially.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
That's it.
It's his push out to the East, bringing Rutgers and Maryland in. He did it in Washington last year, so he just went up north to New York. Probably won't be coming around to either place in a while. They'll probably go back to the Midwest, but here we go. It's at Madison Square Garden. Now, Rutgers, I was at behind the bench for the Rutgers game yesterday, and they had a lot to play for. And, you know, they could have, you know, they didn't have to be dead last in the Big Ten. They had a chance to go as high as 12th. Of course, they could have at least been 13th if they won that game.
There you go. I love Steve Peichel before the game. Yeah. You know, last year we were 3 games out of next to last.
Right.
So we can actually move into next to last. Mm-hmm. That's progress.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
Well, listen, I mean, and I'm by no means off the Steve Peichel bandwagon. I think he's the right guy. And I think, look, we got some recruits coming in. I think he will build the program. program, but since the Seton Hall win, it's been a really, really rough go. Two bad losses right out of the jump to Stony Brook and Hartford. And then, you know, listen, they did manage to win a couple of Big Ten games, okay? And, you know, but in there, it was a lot of lopsided losses. And you know, at this time last year, they were playing well. They won their last game, and then they won their opener.
So how are they going to do? Who do they got? Minnesota?
They've got Minnesota. Minnesota's had a lot of injuries. Minnesota crushed them at the beginning of the year, but they've been decimated with injuries. So it's a possibility they can hang with Minnesota this time around. And again, you know, maybe a nice local crowd coming out to the Garden.
Who's coming out Wednesday night? Will be empty.
You know what? You might get a few local. You might get a few people coming over from Piscataway. It's possible. I mean, you know, but I don't think it's going to make
how many people
necessarily make
how,
a difference.
How many people?
Oh, no,
the game?
It was a great crowd.
Was it senior?
Senior night. I was very surprised. It was, you know, damn near a sellout. There's a few empty seats up top there. The announced crowd was like some 7,200. Okay. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be empty.
Yeah, well, senior.
I thought it was going to be a morgue, but it was actually it was a nice crowd, and they played very well. Played Illinois very well, right up three quarters of the game, very well, and then just the last 5 minutes just gave it away. And there wasn't a lot of fight there. Again, same thing. They couldn't hit foul shots. Couldn't get anything to go down in the last 5 minutes. And Illinois started hitting some threes, and pretty much that was it. Took the air out of the building, and that was it. Ended up losing by some 12, 13 points. And, an opportunity. It was a good opportunity for them. And now, is it a huge deal? No. I mean, it was, the writing was on the wall for this season. They were not even going to the NIT. And I even said that at the beginning of the year. And look, there's some recruits coming in. So there's a little bit of excitement moving forward.
Well, it was a big game because I think what Steve is selling, he's selling hope. So he goes, he's got his recruits for next year. There's probably some guys who are still undecided or have kind of risen in the ranks who weren't recruited that he could go out to and say, look, we have moved up and we're on the right way. So it was big from that standpoint. There's no question. I mean,
they
14th, 13th in the big thing.
And in a spot,
I don't know if it's that big. But in terms of what he offers to the recruits, sure, it would have been a big game.
Yeah, so Geo Baker didn't look good. He's coming off the flu. He just didn't. He looked like he was a step behind. He looked a little slow, a little sluggish. You know, Corey was trying to do too much. He was, a lot of turnovers, out of control, down the lane, that kind of thing that we've seen so many times. I mean, he's got to get his game under control there. I mean, he's the best player, without question. And, he can carry the team and has at times, but it's just too much for him. He's got to get other players around him. Let's see if he comes back next
year. Who's going to win the tournament? It's very top heavy.
Interesting. You know what? Purdue is the third seed.
Yeah.
You got Michigan State. They had a little lull in the beginning of the season, and now they're playing very well again. Ohio State has played very well. Mm-hmm. Now they were Rutgers beat them last year in the opening round, so they were in trouble last year. They really turned that program around, and so they're the second seed. They're playing well too. You can never discount Purdue, but if you ask me, I'm gonna look. I mean, Izzo, this is his time of year. Michigan State is just they've righted the ship. They had a little bit of an issue to be in midseason. Interestingly enough, Matt, Rutgers played them all tough. I know we're so tired of moral victories.
They played Michigan State tough. They did.
Played Michigan State tough. They played Purdue tough. They also Ohio State blew them out, but they played Purdue and Michigan State tough. So, and also played Nebraska tough. So then Nebraska's the fourth seed. So they, three of the four top seeds, they played well. They're
so
not
gonna
that
win.
Far off. I'll say Michigan State. I'll just go with obvious front runner. I don't see why anybody would beat them. I just don't see it. So I'll go with them. Ohio State's playing very well. And then Purdue, those three right there. Nebraska, that's a fall off from the top three. I mean, those guys are some of the best in the country, and then it falls off to the number four seed. So one of those three, obviously, and I'll take Michigan State in that one. Now, with the Big East coming on, it looked like, we were talking last 2 weeks ago about Seton Hall being on the bubble, but they have certainly played better.
Yeah, they've got 20 wins now. They've won their last three. Mm-hmm. That plays them back into a position.
When we were talking, they lost four in a row and lost at home to Marquette.
Yeah.
So it was like,
well,
what's
that's
going
what we
on?
Said. Yeah, they were on the bubble because of that, and they had to right the ship, and they have. They've got two games left, Villanova on Wednesday and then Butler on Saturday. Both are at home. They've always played Villanova tough at home. They played them well for about three quarters of the game down there.
Just can't seem to get over the hump with them, man.
Well, they beat them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can do that.
Well, when's the last time they beat them?
They beat them in the tournament, the Big East tournament. So, you know, they play well against Villanova. Mm-hmm. So that it would still be an upset, but it would not be a surprise. It would be a shock if they won on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how deep do you see Seton Hall going in this year's tournament?
Yeah, they're a really confusing team and a confounding team at times because those seniors play so well at times together and then other times they can't find their mojo. So I don't know. I think a lot of it will depend on Miles Powell and his outside shooting. And it really, it's impossible to predict. I think certainly Seton Hall can get no worse than the semi. Look, I would be shocked if they lost in their first Big East game. I think they can get to the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can win.
Yeah.
That when they play well, they're that good. When Angel Delgado dominates and Carrington's hitting shots and Powell's hitting outside shots and Sanogo's playing good defense and Rodriguez gets involved. I mean, they have some serious experienced players, but they don't have a lot of depth. And sometimes they look like they are not on the same page.
The East is good, man. And just like talking about the Big Ten and their top three. I mean, you got Villanova, the best in the country. And Xavier's a very good team, too. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Xavier blew out
Seton Hall
last
good.
Time
to
play. Butler's very good.
So, no, it's a decent conference. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. I think...
And that comes next week. Of course, MSG is going to be busy, right? You got the Big Ten tournament this year, and then right after that, we'll have the Big East. So a lot of conference tournaments coming up. And then, of course, we got March Madness, and we'll be covering that all on moresportsnow.com. And that'll do it for this week. It's Steve Tichner, Matt Lachlan. Check out our website, moresportsnow.com. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.